I want to read some of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, taken from the seventh chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles. I also want to use a couple of pretexts in relationship to this reading lesson. I want to be found in Proverbs 26 and 27, if you want to turn there and kind of mark that place in your Bible. Also, if you want to mark another place that I think is a good proof text or reference to the message I'll be preaching this morning, will also be found from St. John chapter 8, another passage that I'm going to make reference to kind of in a quick way. I'm going to run over these passages relatively quick. These verses in the seventh chapter of Matthew are some of the most fascinating verses in Scripture. For me, this is the Declaration of Independence for every believer, for every Christian that is in the kingdom of Christ. There are guidelines and principles within this one sermon I'm in. Let's face it, people, it is the sermon of sermons, preached by the preacher of preachers. Just can't top it. And throughout the book, throughout the book of Matthew, there's a lot of good teaching of Jesus Christ. But, you know, many times the first things and the last things, they're the most impressive things. And this is one of the first things that Jesus said. He began in the sermon to give us a perspective with respect to ourselves when he taught us the Beatitudes. You need to have the right understanding of who you really are in relationship to God. He also, as he went through this sermon, gave us a perspective on the world, stating that we are to be salt and light. He gave us a perspective with regard to the Word of God. He talked about the law and how that the Word of God is immutable, it's unchangeable. He gave us a perspective regarding the moral law and holiness. He also told us how to have religious activity, things with respect to giving and praying and fasting. And in this portion of this sermon, he taught us some things in regard to our interaction with other people. How we need to interact with other people. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, when he was talking about saved people who were in the kingdom of God, this is how they would interact and have relationships with each other. Now, these human relationships that he speaks of in these passages of Scripture are condensed. They're very contained. Jesus, many times, he was very direct and emphatic about what he said. He didn't just beat around the bush. He said, these are some things you should do. These are the things that you should not do. He was very specific. He was very direct. And he begins by saying this: judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I said I was going to use a couple of passages of Scripture. One from Proverbs. Proverbs is a very practical book. I preached a message last year about the power of the Proverbs and how that we can utilize these principles that are found in the book of Proverbs to help us live out our lives. It's like a blueprint. It'll really help you if you will follow the precepts of the Proverbs. But in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 27, there's a statement made here. The statement is this: whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Also, I want to call in question a statement that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, most of us are familiar with those verses where the adulterous woman was brought in before the Lord by the Pharisees. And Jesus said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." This is my Rolling Stone sermon. Okay? You don't want your face on the front cover. And listen, you won't have to purchase 5 copies for your mother. There's a lot of rolling and throwing of stones. And those things are forbidden in Scripture. And actually, the rolling and the throwing of stones, there are consequences for these things. The proverb is that if you roll a stone, one day, somewhere, that stone will come back upon you. If you dig a pit to entrap or to damage or to hurt somebody, one of these days, as my grandmother used to say, that thing will come home to roost. What I'm talking about this morning, and I want to make it crystal clear, I'm speaking about when the gander gets what he gave to the goose. You know, there are a lot of things that happen to us, and we need to be inactive. We heard a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning about how that God is in control. Do you guys believe that? And we will amen. We'll say, yes, God is in control. We believe that God is the judge. That He will judge this world in righteousness. These are His His areas of control. We don't control them. We're not to be invading His territory. He's responsible for controlling this world. He's responsible for judging this world. We also believe that vengeance and judgment belong unto who? Belong solely unto God. We are taught in the Scriptures over and over and over again to be inactive when it comes to retaliation, right? Brother Mac read for us from in my Sunday school class the passage of Scripture that everything's going to be brought into judgment. We ought to hear what Solomon said, to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He also told us that everything, that God is going to require everything of us, every deed and every exercise of our mouths and of our bodies, and every good thing and every bad thing is going to be brought into judgment. Jesus went so far to say that everything that was said in secret at judgment will be echoed from the housetops. Made a full disclosure. So there needs to be an inactivity when it comes to certain things. It's difficult, isn't it? Not to retaliate. It's difficult not to pass judgment on circumstances and situations that we see in life. Sometimes I think we do it and we don't even realize that we're doing something bad. There needs to be an inactivity in the areas of interacting with others. One thing we should not do, and Jesus was very clear, He was very specific, He told us that we need to be careful when we judge others. We need to be very careful. Now, I said very careful in the judging of others. We realize that this says, judge not. But we do realize that there are some areas where we do have to use some discretion. There are some areas where the Bible teaches that we are to judge. There are some things that, some have gone so far as to take this passage and say that we should not even have the judgment in our government. Brother Doug taught a good lesson last Sunday in Sunday school about how important that God has set in motion the judgment in our government. God is in control of that. And we believe that people need to be judged by the law. And so that's not what it's talking about. Jesus was not condemning the judgment that's done in government. Some have gone so far to say that's what he was implying. That wasn't what he was saying. We have to understand what Jesus was saying in its context. We need to understand it in the context of the entire Bible. Now, we need to use some discretion. We need to use some judgment. We live in a time where people hate people who have a critical view of morality. They have a critical view of immorality, who have a critical view of things that are good or things that are evil. Listen, there are things that are right and things that are wrong. And we need to stand up for those things that are right. We live in a time where people hate this kind of dogma. We live in a time where people resist doctrine. They say, well, let's just love everybody. Let's not care what their sexual orientation is. Let's don't care, what they do, what kind of sins they commit. That's not the people of God. The people of God stand up for what is right according to the Word of God. We do, and we are called upon to pass judgment. I mean, just look in this seventh chapter. Look there like in verse 6. What does he go on and say? He says, give not that which is holy unto dogs. Well, we have to pass judgment, don't we? We have to discern. We have to discriminate. Jesus told us not to do that. Go on in verse 15 of this same chapter. Beware of false prophets. There are things that we need to discern. We need to test. We need to try the spirits. There are people that come along who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're teaching and preaching false doctrine, and we need to stand up against them. We need to stand up against the immorality in our society and in our world. We need to stand up against false teachings and false prophets. We can't just all get along if you're teaching and preaching heresy that's going to send somebody to hell. Can't tolerate that. We are to judge in those matters. In areas of doctrine. In areas of morality. We are to pass judgment on those things. We don't pass judgment based upon our own personal doctrine. We don't pass judgment based upon our own personal likes and dislikes. We have to make those judgments based upon the Word of God. Let God be true and everybody else a liar. God is true. When God says something is bad, it's bad. So the Bible's not telling us not to pass judgment. I mean, you can move on in this same gospel of Matthew in chapter 18. What does he call upon us to do? He told us to confront a sinning brother. If you see a brother that sins, you are to go and talk to them and try to help them. Aren't we? Yeah. We're to confront them. He tells us to confront them boldly, forthrightly. And talk to them about their sinfulness. And if they do not listen to you, you make it a matter of public information by bringing it to the church. Isn't that what he told us to do? And so don't tell me that the Bible doesn't say that there are occasions and times when we should not confront people about sin, confront people about what they're doing. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, if somebody comes along and they preach some other gospel than what's recorded in Scripture, some other gospel other than what Paul and Peter and the other apostles preach, if they preach some other gospel other than Jesus Christ, Paul said to count them as accursed. He said, whether it be an angel or a man, to identify them, to mark them, actually the Bible tells us to mark those that cause controversy among us. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are to try certain circumstances and situation. I think it was Peter that put it, judgment begins at the house of God. And our judgment, when it's right judgment, must be founded on the Word of God. We should be able to, in these, when we're making these kinds of discernment, when we are passing this kind of judgment, we should be able to go to the Word of God and say, this is what God said, and God said it was wrong, and we believe it's wrong. So there is an activity in judgment, and then there's an inactivity. There's a proactive aspect of this that I want to bring to your attention. Because then we have to ask ourselves the question, okay, what is Jesus talking about? If there are passages of Scripture that tell us that we are to judge in certain circumstances, that we are to judge with regard to immorality, we are to pass judgment based upon false doctrine versus the sound doctrine that the Bible teaches, that there needs to be a spiritual discernment about us where we can try the spirits. We ought to be able to identify the Antichrist. Amen. John even said that in the book of 1 John. He said, if somebody comes and they are denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, do not even let them in your house. Do not bid them Godspeed. Amen. Cut them off. That's what he said. Amen. So then what is Jesus talking about when he says, judge not that you be not judged? Well, obviously he's talking about our interaction on a human level. Your interaction with other people, whether it be in your family, whether it be in outside of your family, whether it be at your workplace, whether it be in your neighborhood, whether it be in your community, or whether it be in your church. He's telling us in these passages of Scripture that we need to be careful when we're talking about other people. He's talking about us being critical and judgmental and condemning, us being self-righteous like the Pharisees. He's talking about being critical in personal matters or personal weakness. He's talking about making fun or criticizing somebody else's personal frailty. People, that's wrong. I had an incident just a few weeks ago. I didn't know if I was going to share this or not. It was kind of an unusual situation, but I was at Christmas time. I was with my mom and dad, and we were sitting watching TV. And you know, during the holidays, they have all these different newscasters. They must be really low on the totem pole, and they're having to work Christmas or whatever. And there was a lady that was telling the news that night, and she had a unique nose, a special nose. Okay, and it was very obvious. My dad, he said, "Wow, you know. Look at her nose." And I said, "Dad," I said, "you, me, and Mom, we don't need to be talking about anybody else's noses." He said, I know. You know, there are things about you that you cannot help because God created you that way. He designed you that way. We believe God was in control of those things when you were born. He was in control of your life. He's in control of how you look, how you appear, how you act. And listen, we have no right criticizing and condemning what God has done. Think about it. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about, you know, talking to somebody about their sins. We need to do that. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17, it says, if you don't, you know, try to help a brother that's sinning, you hate him rather than love him. He said, thou shalt not hate thy brother. Thou shalt not hate thy brother. What does that mean? He goes on and says in Leviticus 19 and 17, thou shalt in any case rebuke thy neighbor and not allow sin on him. Don't allow sin on him. Rebuke him. Now listen, if we're talking about sinful things, we need to address one another when it comes to sinful things. The Bible tells us in Galatians that those that are strong need to help the infirmities of the weak, right? But we have a consciousness of ourselves. And here's the problem. People who are critical and judgmental, there are three problems that they have. That's revealed in this passage. First of all, they have the problem and that they have an erroneous understanding of who God is. God is the creator. God is the judge. Secondly, they have an erroneous view of others. They obviously think that they're special or above other people. That's going to be revealed in these verses with regard to the mote and the beam, which is almost like a comic strip. It's almost comical when you read this, the illustration he gives in this message. Jesus was a good illustrator of things. And thirdly, a person who does this, they obviously have not only a wrong understanding of others, but they obviously have a wrong understanding of themselves. We're not special. And Jesus reveals that to us, that we're all in this together, okay? So, in these verses, what does he tell us to do? He tells us to stop, and I like the term, I don't mean to be correcting the King James, I hope you don't accuse me of that, but I think we understand that this word judge, in the Greek, it's used about 50 times, 50 different ways. It's translated like 50 different ways. So it can have a lot of different meanings. And the word judge here, I think Jesus is saying, do not criticize. Do not criticize. Criticizing somebody's appearance. But Jesus told us in John 7 and 24... Turn there, John 7 and 24. A very clear and pointed statement made with regard to this. He basically just tells us, stop criticizing. Judge not according to appearance. Do not judge based upon something that you see. Who do you believe ponders the heart? Who is able to see the heart? Is there anybody here that's a mind reader? God is the only one that can judge your thinking and your mind. There's only one who can judge your heart, and that's God. It is wrong to judge somebody else's motives. We're not to judge people's motives. You just don't know the circumstance. You are not omniscient. You don't know everything. But there's one who does judge that knows the beginning from the end. He knows the circumstance. And too many times we evaluate somebody's life based upon what we see. But the thing is, we don't see everything. We don't know everything. And so we are told not to judge according to appearance. We are to judge according to righteousness. And so there are many different ways that the word judgment is used in Scripture. Look in like Romans chapter 14, verse 13, another verse of Scripture. I'm going to give you several proof references. Why does the Bible repeatedly in the epistles and in the New Testament, why does it repeatedly tell us not to do this? Why? Why does it say don't be critical? Why does the Bible say stop judging and criticizing other people? The Bible actually says in verse 13, let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. You want to make a New Year's resolution? Stop being critical. Being critical and criticizing and criticizing and criticizing, unmercifully judging somebody, unrelentlessly judging somebody. Listen, God Himself doesn't do that. We get mercy from God, don't we? I'm glad that I stand before God rather than man. Are you? God is rich in mercy. He doesn't hold us to accountability like some people do. So what is the Lord doing? In the 7th chapter of Matthew, He is forbidding this hasty, unwarranted, unjust, unmerciful condemnation that actually is spawned out of self-righteous pride. The Pharisees were notorious for doing this. You know, and the worst thing about this, after somebody does this, you know what they like to do? They like to go around and they like to talk to other people about it. They become tellbearers of it and gossipers of it. They like sitting around a campfire and getting everybody to stroke them, you know, and listen, we've already said that somebody that does that, they are placing themselves in the place of God. They are playing God. Do you know how wrong that is? Do you know how wrong it is to knock God off His throne of judgment and place yourself there? Do you know what it says in the book of Thessalonians concerning the Antichrist, the son of perdition, what he does? He sits in the temple of God and acts like God. Listen, you're no more like God than when you forgive. You're no more like the devil than when you accuse. Amen. That same word where Jesus said unto the woman who was called in the act of adultery, "Where art thou accusers?" That same word accusers is used in the 12th chapter of Revelation, where it talks about the devil, the dragon, the old serpent that was after the woman. He is standing before God accusing the brethren. And it's used as a title to accuse somebody else. You're like the devil more than you've ever been. Those are just the facts. So we can see why Jesus would say, don't do this. Don't act like the devil. Act like God, right? Act like the children of God. In Romans, we look there in 14th chapter and verse 13. And what we've noticed so far is that people do this because they've obviously got an erroneous view of God. God is the creator, God is the one in control, and God is the judge. The Bible says that plainly. And to judge other people, to judge their motives, or judge characteristics about them that they cannot change, is something only that God can do. And we don't need to be usurping this divine position. Listen, Jesus said in the 5th chapter of John, the Father is the judge. He's committed all judgment to the Son. And that, people, that's where it stops. He's committed all judgment to the Son. He is the judge. And listen, every time we criticize somebody's motives or their thinking, or we try to evaluate their circumstance and pass some kind of judgment upon it, we are playing God. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Well, let me show you how wrong it is. You look in the 4th verse of that same chapter, the 14th chapter of Romans. And the Bible, the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost, He is astonished. I mean, He's just astonished at anybody who would assume the responsibility and the role of God. He's just astonished. Why are you doing that? Why would you ever do that? Like there in the 4th verse, He just says, who are you? Who in the world do you think you are to judge another man's servant? Who do you serve today? Do you serve God? Absolutely. And so what Paul was saying is, he was saying, look, God is the one whom we are serving. We have no right, if that person is serving God, to judge their circumstance or their situation. Listen, we can meddle too much in other people's affairs. Amen. And it's wrong. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul was talking about, actually, it's a small thing for you to judge me or judge my circumstance. That's what Paul was saying about the evaluation of his ministry. He basically says there in the 3rd verse of the 4th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he makes it real plain. I don't know. He said, I don't even know of anything against myself, but you found a bunch of stuff against me. That's what Paul was saying concerning his ministry and his life. And he just goes on and says, look, the Lord is my judge. Do you believe that? Amen. The Lord. The Bible tells us that every one of us stand under the scrutiny of the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He alone has the right to do that to you or to one of His children or to this world. He has died on the cross. He's resurrected. He's ascended to glory. He deserves the right to judge this world, and you don't. I don't. But He's earned the right to judge this world in righteousness. He sure has. So the Lord, He that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord will judge me. He will judge you. And nothing is to be judged before its time. There are things that God is working out that we just don't understand. We don't see we can't, you know, we can't put it together, but God does. In James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. So I've given you a lot of different verses. The 14th chapter of Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I've given you, I'm giving you now James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He speaks very directly in these passages. He said, speak not evil one of another. You guys do believe the Bible is our law and rule and practice, don't you? Do not speak evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. In other words, what you're doing is you're saying that you have given the law and that you're enforcing the law. Who gave us the Ten Commandments? Well, when you stand in judgment of the law, then you're saying that you're the giver of the Ten Commandments. You are assuming the position of God, and that's wrong. Not only that, he says you're judging the law. He says, aren't you under the law? Notice what he says. And if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Listen, we are under the law. All of us are under the law. See, we have a wrong and erroneous view of ourselves when we judge other people. We apparently think that we are exempt from judgment. And let me tell you something. People who are highly critical of others typically never see anything wrong in their own lives. They have an erroneous view of themselves and an erroneous view of others. They obviously think they're not going to stand in the same judgment of others. But the Bible tells us differently, doesn't it? It tells us clearly that we are going to be judged according to the law. Notice verse 12. There is one lawgiver. You see that in verse 12? James 4? There is one judge. There is one lawgiver. Now listen, we need to be careful when we start implementing our own little quirks and characteristics and ideas and prejudices. Listen, God's people should be very careful when it comes to being prejudiced against others. We should not be prejudiced. Right? We should not judge somebody based upon how they appear. I'm amazed how quickly we do that, don't we? It's something we have to maintain. It's something we have to keep under control, don't we? That we're not prejudiced toward other people. But he says there's only one law. Do you believe God created all men? Do you believe he created them the way he created them? Do you believe like the prophet Jeremiah that said that he was wonderfully and miraculously created by Almighty God from head to toe? I do. I do. Look, I can't do anything about my nose unless you guys give me enough money to have a nose job. We'll take up that collection later. You can't do nothing about your... Well, I guess you could get hair implants if you're bald, or you know, you could cut your hair. I mean, there are certain things, I guess. People have big ears. We have some people are short. Some people are tall. Some people move fast. Some people move slow. Some people are smart. Some people aren't. I mean, it's just the way it is. But listen, nobody is any bigger or better or more important than the other. Amen. Nobody. Amen. Nobody is special. That's an attitude of self-righteousness. We are all under the law of God. We are all under our Creator. We are all under the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what you look like or who you are or where you live. Bible says in the book of Revelation that the books will be opened to be judged of the books. And it says in that passage that small and great. Y'all ever notice that? No exceptions, no exemptions. And so in these passages in James, we got one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? I mean, it's like the scriptures are astonished. How would you ever dare do something like that? Why would you ever do that? Why would you? What do you think you're doing? The Bible is saying. We still believe that God is the only one that sees the heart and the mind. And yes, we pass judgment on people what they think, and we think we know what their motives are. We can't play God. And so let's not have an erroneous view of God. Let's not have an erroneous view of ourselves. Let's be very careful in these things. I was going to use as a proof reference a passage out of the book of Judges. And I think I'm going to hurriedly read that passage. I want you to turn to Judges chapter 1 real quick. And it says that in verse 6, Judges chapter 1 and verse 6. And Abimelech fled. And they pursued after him. And they caught him. And they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Abimelech said, 70 kings, 70 kings hath their thumbs and their great toes cut off. Gather their meat under my table as I have done. In other words, he said, I cut off 70 kings, big toe and big thumb, and now they've captured me and they've cut off my big toe and my big thumb. So God hath requited me. As I have done, so God hath requited me. What I did to others, it came back on me. Now, I don't believe in karma, okay? But I believe God is watching everything. And sometimes He's like, okay, you want to dish it out? Maybe you need to take a little of it. I want to tell you something, children. Listen to me closely. Some of these older folks are too set in their ways they won't get this. But listen to me closely, children. Nothing escapes the sight of God. And God is a very just God. And you have to be very careful because He's watching you as well as what happens to you. And I've seen it. I've seen it over and over. I could write a book about this stone that somebody rolled to try to hurt somebody else that rolled back on them. It happens. I assure you, according to the Word of God, that God will take care of every wrong that's ever done to you. Amen. Every one of them. None of them have ever escaped His attention, and He will deal with it according to righteous judgment. Amen. He will. You know, all through the ministry of Jesus, He condemned the sin, but not the sinner, with the exception of one sin. And there's one sin that He associated the sinning with the sinner to the degree to where He condemned them, and that was always in the case of the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. He would turn to them and He would say, "You hypocrites." So, when we sit around checking out everybody else, I'm going to say this. I don't think we've got a right. Don't you have something better to do than that? Huh? I mean, Jesus said, you know, you measure this out, it's going to come back to you. But, you know, and He's talking about pulling somebody's mote out when they have a beam. And that's really comical if you think about it. Somebody with this huge tube of four in their eye, and they're trying to get this small splinter out of somebody else's eye. That's just ridiculous. Listen, don't we have enough to do to take care of ourselves? Man, I do. I don't see where somebody, they obviously don't have the right understanding of the first
part of this sermon that Jesus preached with respect to the Beatitudes, when he talked about us seeking and desiring righteousness, when he talked about us hungry and thirsting for righteousness, when he talked about us having a happiness when we realize that we are poor in spirit and need God's help, they obviously don't have a right understanding of who they are in the sight of God, because they wouldn't be spending their time talking about others. They would spend their time working on themselves. So, what have we learned? Let me close. I want you to be proactive. All right? You know, do you want the blessings of God on your life? I want to be proactive in the blessings of God upon my life. I want to do the things that I know pleases God. And I know if I'll do the things that please God, then the blessings of God will be on my life. Easy enough? But if we are not proactive, if we don't find out what God wants us to do and how to treat others, if we don't correspond our lives with those circumstances, rather than the blessings, we'll receive judgments. Right? So Jesus said, for us to be very careful in criticizing others, because you're going to be, you know, there are two things, and I'm going to close right now. There are two things the Bible is very clear about. One, people who hold a pastoral position or a teaching position, they are more accountable unto God in judgment than people who are ignorant. The Bible even says that I will be held accountable for every soul that comes to this church. That's what it says. I personally, you won't be, but I will be. The Bible says some stuff about teachers. You stand up and teach something, you're accountable for what you taught. Amen. You're accountable for what you preach. And if you do not practice what you teach and you preach and you advocate, then you are held in a stricter judgment. That's what the Bible says. Amen. I've read the Bible. I know it's what it says. Greater accountability. Well, there's more light. There's more accountability. I understand that. But also those who are critical of others. In this passage we read that they also will be measured with the same degree of judgment. Whether they know what's right or wrong or not, they're going to be held in a greater degree of judgment for simply acting like they know somebody's motives, or acting like they know somebody's intent, or acting like they know what somebody is thinking and passing judgment upon that. They will be held for that kind of judgment. And a person who judges in that way, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So, you know, there are times where we overstep our line or our boundaries, but you listen, God knows how you feel. He knows who you are. He knows what's going on in your life. I'm glad He does. I'm glad He'll judge me. I know sometimes we put pressure on people to be like us. We want people to look like us and be like us. And we didn't make them. We have no right to that. They need to be who God made them to be.